Before we get into the episode, you may or may not be aware that 1 minute remaining can now be heard entirely in Spanish. And to celebrate OMR becoming fit for a Spanish audience, I have teamed up with AM Fitness, two brothers from South America, also friends of mine, who are passionate about fitness and helping others. And they want to help OMR listeners who are wanting to get themselves fit. That's me included. I'm doing this. So to get 15% off online plans, which gets you monthly coaching, workouts, and nutrition plans with one-on-one communication with your trainer, just head over to Instagram and go to A_MFitness and use the code AMFIT to get 15% off. And don't worry, you don't have to be Spanish. They speak better English than I do. You want to get fit and support a small business? Go check them out.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Therese Moore,
an inmate at a Florida Department of Corrections institution.
All right, tonight, the end of a story we've been covering for months. Dee Dee Moore will spend the rest of her life in prison.
I have a life sentence. In America, we have natural life sentences. So when you get 25 years, you get no parole here. So I'm in one of the states that doesn't offer parole.
State of Florida versus Doris Donegan Moore. The defendant is guilty of first-degree murder.
The rest of his remaining money, once he cashed it out, he moved $1 million over. He buried it on one of my properties.
So you buried $1 million in cash out the back of one of your properties.
Well, over that, yeah.
Hello and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the creator and host of the show. This is part three of my chat with Doris Moore, the lady convicted of the murder of Abraham Lee Shakespeare, a crime that she's always maintained she's innocent of. Now, as I said, this is part three. This is usually where I suggest to go back and listen to the previous episodes. But this time, it's not a suggestion. This time, it's a direct order. If you don't listen to part one and part two, I guarantee you, you're going to be lost. So I'll give you a few seconds to hit pause and jump back and listen to those if you haven't already. So in today's episode, we'll take a look at the final events that led up to the eventual arrest of Doris as she headed into many hours of interrogations with detectives. Before that, though, during this active investigation, something bizarre happens. And yes, I know what you're thinking, Jack, this whole thing is bizarre. And yes, you're right, it is. But welcome to the story, Polk County's very own Sheriff Grady Judd.
You're not supposed to saddle up your horse in Polk City, ride it all the way to town in Lakeland drunk. If you do, we're going to put you in jail for DUI on a horse.
Now, Sheriff Judd goes on television to do a story about Abraham being missing. Now, certainly not unusual. When you're dealing with a big case, you want to put it out there for the public to see if you can get any bites, anyone with any information that might be able to come forward and help you with the investigation. However, within this interview, he openly admits that Doris is his number one person of interest before she's ever charged with any crime at all.
Did he get the right help?
The person that he thought was ultimately going to help him, the person that convinced him that she was there for his best interests, is Dee Dee. She moved that money to her personal accounts.
She took it.
She took it. That's what our investigation shows us at this point. And you know what she says? Abraham gave it to me as a gift for all the help that I gave him. Almost $1 million.
Is she someone you can trust?
I wouldn't trust Dee Dee Moore as far as I could throw her.
Now, I'm not in law enforcement. I never have been in law enforcement. But I would suggest that that's probably a no-no. Although, maybe his thinking was that him doing that in such a public way may cause Doris to slip up and do something silly. And it is something that Doris, in fact, did see on TV.
One thing that is pretty insane, that on the 13th of January, Sheriff Grady announced to the media that you were a person of interest in Abraham's disappearance. Uh-huh. Where were you when did you see that? Where were you when you heard that?
I think I was at home or whatever. I wasn't worried. I mean, I knew I didn't kill him. I didn't run.
You can't make this stuff up.
So, as we heard in the previous episode, Doris has been secretly recorded by Greg Smith, the barber and friend of Abraham's. The man detectives say, after just one interview, that they were happy had nothing to do with Abraham's disappearance. Now, I think it's important to point out that Greg, like so many others, did owe Abraham money as well. In fact, Greg Smith owed Abraham $63,000. And let's not also forget that he first came onto detectives' radar when he accepted $300 cash to make a fake phone call to Abraham's mother pretending to be Abraham. Something that Greg apparently says he's still not sure why he agreed to, as we hear here in an interview with Crime Watch Daily.
To this day, Greg wonders how he could have gone along with it, but he does.
She say, listen, I need you to do me a favor, to buy me some time till Abraham come by. Can you tell Abraham, mother, that I'm okay? I say, I'm okay. I want you to pretend to be Abraham. I said, man, I don't know. She said, I tell you what, I'll give you $300 and make the phone call. I said, okay, $300? Yeah, I'll make a phone call and say you okay.
So as we also know, detectives say that Doris asks Greg if he knows anyone who will take the rap for the crime, a fact that Doris has told us is incorrect and that, in fact, detectives end up admitting it was their idea.
Okay, he comes up with this plot, this plan with the two detectives to say they've got, and actually they admit this, they actually end up admitting they are the ones that created the plot and the plan for the fall guy. Greg Smith tells the defendant she needs to give him a gun to give this anonymous fall guy. He comes up with this plan, and I have recordings of him, and he says that, you know, he's got an idea. Well, his idea is to give me this fall guy that can take the fall for me. When I get to the fall guy, I don't really know if he's buried on my yard. He's wanting me to tell him I know for a fact where he's buried, and I don't. I said, well, say he's buried in the ocean. You know what I mean? Because I really don't know. You can hear it. I don't know.
Now, remember in the previous episode, I said that detectives have a few things on their wish list. So far, this is what they have. Doris on tape agreeing to pay a fall guy $50,000 to take the rap for this crime. A supposed murder weapon that Doris gives to Greg, something she's told us she never said was the weapon that killed Abraham. They needed a gun, so she gave them one. And it was also said in court that they could not link this gun with the crime itself. So now, number one on the wish list, which Doris briefly just mentioned, detectives want Doris to show Greg where Abraham's body is. So they say she takes Greg out to her property. She gets out of the car, walks over to the concrete slab, and lays an item down to mark where it is.
They're saying that you pointed, you said this is you didn't say this. You didn't even talk. Apparently, Greg's saying that he didn't get out the car. He sat in the car, and you went out there and pointed with a stick or whatever it was, or a piece of metal.
Right, because I'm showing him where I knew the money was buried. It says, well, if I find out, this is me more. It's in my discovery. Well, if I found out everything Ronald did and tell him that I've got somebody, that way they don't have to kill my son, because they keep threatening to kill my son and the detective won't, you know, protect him. So I say, then he doesn't have to harass me anymore. I'll fix everything and find out what they've really, you know, done at this point. So I've got them telling me it's where I buried the money. So that's where I show Greg the spot of where I buried the money, and he's going to check and see if the money, you know, buried there or if it's a body buried there.
Okay, so you show when Greg says, "Oh, she took me out and showed me where the body was," you weren't taking him out to show him where the body was. You were taking him out to point out where the money was.
Right.
With this new information, police decide to move in and start digging on the property. This is something again that Dorice was actually watching happen on TV.
Like I had my TV running in the living room when they were digging on the property and showing it on TV and all. I was watching it. And I still didn't know if they were going to uncover money or uncover a body at that point. I still didn't know. I know one person was telling me one thing and one was telling me another. So I didn't know who I could believe.
When they were digging on your property and it was on TV, you were actually watching that happen?
Yeah, on TV. I was at home. I seen it on the news.
And you, I mean, there was no part of you that, I mean, obviously, you know, you were there when $1 million was buried there. And so, I mean, did you think they were just going to dig up $1 million?
Well, yeah, because Greg is the one that told me they set me up. Greg is in the video and he's hammering his hand fist and he's like, "They set you up, they set you up." And so Greg is telling me they set me up. So that's the only thing we could think of.
So after digging for many hours on the property, police eventually locate the body of Abraham Lee Shakespeare. Dorice was then arrested and taken in for extensive questioning by detectives.
The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office says the human remains found yesterday do belong to the missing lotto winner Abraham Shakespeare. Big break in the case came earlier this week when a tipster told them to check out a home off East State Road 60 in Hillsborough County. When detectives arrived at that home, they started digging in nearby woods, and they finally zeroed in on a 30 by 30 foot concrete slab yesterday. Now, they brought in heavy digging equipment, and after ripping apart that slab, they found Shakespeare's remains. An autopsy earlier today helped investigators confirm their suspicions in this case.
She is not currently charged with the murder. She is charged right now as accessory after the fact. It's still a very active investigation. We're going to seek justice for him, and we will find out all the players, whether they were involved directly in the murder or in the theft of his lottery winnings.
So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's time for the interrogations of Dorice.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show, and I want to take a quick opportunity to thank everybody who's been listening to the show, rating and reviewing it, and telling their friends about it. If you do want to help the show out, it's very simple. All you need to do is hit that follow button. Whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get the show from, just hit that follow button and you will never miss an episode. They're dropped weekly, and you hit that follow button and each episode will be directly dropped onto your device. Now, with that being said, let's get back to the show. Now, you were taken into custody by police, I think it was February 2nd. Talk me through that day and how that went.
It was all a big dog and pony show. Do you know that when they arrested me, I was in Hillsborough County, and I had to wait in this little room until the detectives that ran the case in Lakeland got all the way over there
just to take me to the jail so they could show me off in front of the media as they walk me out. That's what we waste our taxpayer money on.
Yeah, I've seen the vision of it.
We waste our taxpayer money on for them to waste their fuel to be the ones to walk me in because they ran the case.
So after Doreese's arrest, she tells me that the threats from the drug dealers were still a very present danger, although it was now directed at her immediate family.
When I'm in county jail, they go on to riding by my mom's house. I mean, it's real people. These aren't fake and imaginary. They tried to make me out feel like I was crazy and I was making it up. And all this time, I'm having to deal with this. So I guess saying something to the cops, they act like it's gold, like they don't even listen to the actual recording. Okay, so Greg tells them there's gasoline. In the report, it says gasoline. It says gallons of gasoline. Do you know when they itemized everything in the trailer that there was no gasoline found? Not even a gallon. Because I'm not going to have my friend burned. It's sick.
Okay, so I'll quickly jump in here and explain what Doreese is talking about with the gasoline and the burning. It's what detectives say the plan was, once Abraham's body was dug up, was to dispose of it more permanently by using a tub found on the property to burn the body and remove any trace of it being there.
That's what I'm aggravated about, is people just assuming and they want to jump on it, and because the case, they put it in the media so much, they make up stuff, just like they made up I had the lavish vacation. That was before I even met Abraham. I went to Las Vegas. Everything in my case that they said about me was a complete lie. At no point was anything factual. And listen to me, I lied and said everything but a pink elephant done it. You kept treating me like I wasn't witnessing what I was. When they told me there was no drug dealers, but I have tapes of drug dealers talking about how they're going to get away with killing me if I say anything, at what point was to worry about that? Everybody has a different level of fear in life, okay? I feel like if it's your time to die, you're going to die. But when it comes to my kid, I would do anything. Just like I wouldn't have had to do such lying in the room where they have me locked in, where they say I have the opportunity to leave, but they keep telling me to sit down.
Yeah, right, the interrogation stuff.
That I know, right. Well, they're telling me, I know. No, I don't. And they keep saying, I keep trying to tell them about the two guys, and they say that's not real. So what they do, they start threatening to arrest my ex-husband.
Yeah, I've sat through and watched that.
I didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, and I knew he didn't have nothing to do with it, so I had no choice but to lie. You're going to take an innocent man to jail, and these people are people that told me to stop dealing with these people. I wasn't street smart. I was smart at business.
So as I mentioned there to Doreese, I have in fact sat and watched her interrogation. It's something that anyone can do. It's readily available online. And should you have a spare 3 hours, you can do the same. Now, this is something that Doreese is really unhappy with, the amount of the interrogations that were released to the public, when she says that her recordings have never been able to be watched or heard.
It's amazing how they exploit the situation and allow all these videos, but they don't allow the videos of me recording all the detectives and all the paid off police officers and all the, you know, that's not on the internet anywhere. It's kind of funny and ironic to me that my side of the story of what actually happened, because my tape recorder doesn't stop recording when theirs do. It's amazing that none of that is on there. So who is posting it? Does the police department post it? Is there...
So, I mean, if you've got these recordings and stuff like that, which obviously you've got these recordings and all these tapes that you've got, like, you know, if you've got them, then, you know, and you're saying, oh, no one's posting those. Like, if you've got them, you know, why aren't they being posted? Like, have you got someone that can post them? Have you got someone that can put them up and someone that can, you know, obviously put these ones out there?
I'll be glad to get you a copy. You want to post them? I'll be glad to get you a copy of them.
Yeah, I'd love to hear them and see them.
I'll be glad to get you a copy of them.
Yeah, great.
Two people have the original copies, and I will get you a copy of them, absolutely. Just so everybody knows, I have more than one copy of that. So if they killed me or they do anything or try to ruin the copy, one of my lawyers has a copy and an ex-FBI agent has a copy. So those videos and audios aren't going away. And one day, somehow, they will be posted. So people that have no clue what really happened can see for themselves how wrong this is.
So, as I mentioned in my short update a couple of days after the release of this show, I now have these tapes and videos that Doris has been talking about. I am still in the process of going through everything, but one thing I will say is, no matter what you already think about Doris and her innocence or guilt, I can tell you that the audio that I will bring you is going to make you question everything. There is certainly a lot more going on here than anyone knows, and you will hear it all very soon. So again, these interrogations are something that cropped up in the media quite a bit because of basically what happened during them.
It's the bottom of the ninth, mm-hmm. And you've got two strikes, Kitty. Okay?
I watched Cedric shoot them. In the room.
The one and only objective in this interrogation with Dee Dee Moore was to get the truth on what happened to Abraham Shakespeare. Moore started with this theory.
It was a drug deal that went bad, and the guy's name is I just found it out.
Moore could not think of the drug dealer's name who supposedly killed Shakespeare. One heated moment came when she claimed she was being framed.
You did it on this case.
I had to.
It appears from what we've seen that Doris changes her story multiple times. So it's important that we discuss these interrogations and get her side of the story on them.
So I've watched that interrogation because you can watch it. It goes for about 3 hours. So I sat and watched it, and I didn't. You know, they do say to you, Right. Look, you know, okay, so your ex-husband must know about something. He must know something to do with this, and you better tell us because otherwise, you know, he's going to get himself arrested, and then your kid's got no parent.
And you're putting your 15-year-old child in jeopardy, and I say that with meaning because of the fact that you are potentially looking at both parents.
I already told Clark that James did not know what that hole was, but I really...
And how could he not know?
Because what I did was...
You're looking at a 5 to 6 foot hole. How could he not know?
Because I told him we were burying some concrete. We had buried concrete out there on the property before. If you look in front of that... in front of that building, there's
what
concrete
building?
Buried. There's concrete buried right in front of the brown building to the left.
The one in the middle, the little shack-looking thing that has some new stucco and paint?
Yeah, that one. There's concrete buried right there in the property.
No concrete buried where Abraham was found?
I know that. And then James came back over and fill it back in, you know, after I...
So let me ask you this.
They put dirt in it to cover everything up, and then James came back and just pushed the dirt over.
So if James comes back thinking he's pushing dirt back over...
Concrete,
and he doesn't see any freaking concrete there, come on, Dee Dee.
It's dark. It's late. He honestly did not know. He honestly, I swear to you, on a whatever, he did not know. He would not do
Hang on.
He's been a good man.
And then he goes to picking up his cell phone like he's calling the guy. What am I supposed to do? At what point? I want to know, anybody out there, what would you do? What other options do you have? I would just love for people, everybody wants to pipe in and be mean and evil and say, oh, well, I would do this and that. No, you wouldn't. You don't have any place to go. You run. I don't have that option. I have too much family in that area.
You mean, obviously you're saying that because, you know, there's a lot spoken about how you change your story so many times during interrogation, and you're saying that's because they just didn't believe you on and so you had no other option other than to try a different tact.
Right, because I didn't have an option. They were telling me things that didn't happen that I knew happened, you know? Like trying to make me believe I didn't even meet a drug dealer. Like, I that never happened. it made me think, well, you know what, am I crazy? I started questioning myself. And then the thing that hurt me the most is when they try to say I blamed it on my son. I knew I didn't. So I'm sitting there thinking, what happened? Like, I blame it on him. And he's like, you were in the room and you blamed it. I said, no, I didn't. I said, no. And then when I read the, where they have it all, the wording out and everything, it said, no. I say, no, my son wouldn't do that. But yet they go and tell the media that because they want to question my son without a parent present. How is that right?
Yes, because I mean, I did see something where it's like you said that Abraham was threatening to kill you, or he had his hands around your throat, so your son shot him out of, you know, to protect you.
The detective testified she had one more statement as she broke down and left the interrogation room.
She said, my son RJ shot Abraham twice. Abraham was trying to choke me. RJ walked in the room, grabbed my gun, and shot him. He was only protecting me like any son would do.
They have all these things that they keep saying this and that and that. No, I'm tired of the lies. You can tell the lies by the videotape. It hurts so bad that they're allowed to legally do this. And then the other tape that's going to be on the way, I'm going to get a copy of it for you, is I found the one where the detective telling me, oh, don't tell nobody I called. I just want to give you a heads up. They're going to be making this announcement. And it's him telling me, basically, they can go on TV and lie just to see what the public says. Don't take it harshly. That's not fair to a person.
Hold on. So a detective called you.
I have a video of it.
Detective called you up and said, hey, Doris, just so you know, we're going to go on TV and say this. It's not true, obviously, but we just want to see what happens when we say it.
Well, he's like, I want to tell you there's some more bad things. Don't say I called you, but I want to tell you there's going to be some more bad media out there. You know, I know you say that, you know, I don't remember his exact words, but like, you know, I'm on your side on this. I know, you know, basically telling me he's on my side, but this has to be done, so don't take it to heart, basically. But you'll hear it when I send it to you.
Sure.
And so I'm sitting there thinking, how cruel can a person be when I had no personality for this? This is not my personality. I thought of good things and happy things to do on the weekend. I was a mother. I did normal things on the weekend.
So let's go over the prosecution's case. This is how detectives say the murder took place. They state that Doris called her ex-husband and had him come over to the property to dig a hole. Now, this is something that Doris admits to doing. However, she says this was to bury the $1 million that Abraham wanted hidden, and not for his body.
It says here that they spoke to your ex-husband. He was interviewed on January 28th, and he said that you asked him in April of 2009 to dig a hole in the yard.
Uh-huh, that's the money.
That was for the money, because he does say then he said he returns 2 hours later because you asked him to fill the hole back in. He said he didn't see what was in the hole. He said it was too dark. That hole was the hole that was dug to put this $1 million into it.
Right. Okay, now I want you to think common sense-wise, okay? You say I killed this man. I'm not going to have my ex-husband come and run a piece of equipment to be able to tell anybody anything, okay, if I've actually done this. And really that sick in the head, okay? I have him come because I'm not having these guys run my piece of equipment, okay, because I don't know them. It's two men Abraham knows, and they're bearing this money, and I'm not going to allow them to run my piece of equipment. So if Abraham wants this money buried, he can pay my ex-husband for it. So I paid my ex-husband $200 to come dig a hole for them and then come back and fill it in.
So, and I'm assuming that there was no one else there. There was no one else there when your ex-husband was there digging the hole, so he didn't see anyone else.
No.
Yeah, right.
No.
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, it does sound odd to me that if you had killed someone, that you asked someone to come over and sort of dig a hole, number one, dig a hole, but then number two, come back and fill it in where they could potentially see someone lying in that hole.
Right, right. And you got to remember where this is at, too. It's on Highway 60, which is a major interstate, like a major road. Like, people can see us. There's traffic going by, back and forth. There's
it's very active there. So anybody would be like, hey, you know, they're doing something suspicious over in this yard. I could have buried him anywhere on that yard if it's a body, okay? So at what point, I just want somebody to think logical. The reason why the money was buried there is because I wanted it in camera view. I originally wanted it behind the red brick home because the camera face is right there. And James said it couldn't be buried there. The money couldn't be buried there because, well, he didn't know it was money being buried, but I couldn't dig a hole there because he was worried about electric and all that stuff. And everything. I had told him that I was going to bury some concrete because they had buried some concrete on the property before over by the other building over there, some little concrete brush or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he originally wanted it behind the house, or I did, and he's like, no, it can't. So I went to the next best place, which the camera still faces. The problem I had was when I found out they finally, you know, that I'm thinking they've done something to this man, I can't even go back to the camera system because it has a 30-day loop. So it only plays 30 days, and it revolves and does a loop. So, but I have it facing towards that property where you can see it in view, and it's on a major road.
Prosecutors then claim that later that day, Dorice would shoot Abraham and place him in that hole. Shakespeare's blood was in fact found in the property. However, Dorice says that blood DNA of another non-Caucasian male was also found in that property, an important piece of evidence that was overlooked at the time.
Once I'm in prison, they find there's blood DNA at the crime scene of a male, and it's non-Caucasian. That was never put in my trial. No one ever seen that information. When you have DNA from another person in the same room with the victim's blood, then that shows hypothesis of innocence because my blood is not in there, but another male non-Caucasian's blood is with Abraham's blood at the crime scene. So it shows hypothesis of innocence.
Right.
So my public defender should have showed the possibilities of hypothesis of innocence of who this blood could be, and that it doesn't match what the state was saying happened, because the state obviously said I killed him by myself alone.
There's another person's DNA in that room with Abraham's DNA, and that's where they're questioning, okay, so who is this person and why didn't we look into the DNA, this particular DNA?
Right.
Prosecutors then claim she had her ex-husband return later that evening to fill the hole in. They then say she had fresh concrete poured over the top to cover up the crime. This is another piece of the puzzle that Dorice has an issue with, as she says that concrete was in fact poured long before Abraham ever went missing.
That body was not there, and I have way too much proof to prove it was not there when I had the concrete poured. That was the only reason the jury decided to convict me, because the way the jury looked at it is I must have known something about his death because I had the concrete poured. We had the concrete poured over the money. The money, the concrete was poured April 13th. He was not dead April 13th. April 28th, he had a DNA test done to see if that was the father or his son. I mean, he was the father of the child. The problem is everybody that is anybody has tried to twist and manipulate the story.
Nonetheless, with all of this, Dorice is taken to trial. And after weeks of evidence and witness statements, plus a highly publicized court case, on December the 10th, 2012, Dorice Moore is found guilty of the murder of Abraham Lee Shakespeare and sentenced to life in prison.
All right, tonight, the end of a story we've been covering for months. Dee Dee Moore will spend the rest of her life in prison.
State of Florida versus Dorice Donegan Moore. The defendant is guilty of first-degree murder.
You have 1 minute remaining.
So that's where we'll leave it for today. But coming up in the next episode, Dorice, during our conversations, asks if I'd like to talk with her law clerk. When I ask for her number, I find out that the law clerk is in fact residing in the same correctional institution as Dorice.
My name is Kimberly Boone. I go by Kim, and I have been incarcerated almost 14 years. I have 17 and a half left to go if I have to do my entire prison sentence. About 6.5 years ago, I finally got into the law library. I've always been interested in helping others. I kind of got railroaded on my case. And when I got here, I realized that I wasn't the only one. Next time on 1 Minute Remaining.
1 Minute Remaining is a Mash Pumpkin production. Hosted and produced by Jack Lawrence. Editing and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.